And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. First of all, as always, thank you all so much for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for just being there, for tuning in, for listening. By the way, share this podcast with a friend, with a neighbor, tell them how to tune into it. A lot of our listeners, of course, don't do the whole internet thing. They listen to the radio, but some of you do. And for those of you who have friends who may, may have listened to me on the radio and said, well, he's not on anymore. You can say, oh, yes, he is. He's still on. He does a podcast. It's on weekly. And you just go to AFR.net and go to the Awakening Podcast and you can get it. Posts every Wednesday. And it is my pleasure and my honor to be a part of the American Family Association and the AFR family. And thank you all again for your support. Well, first, let me just say, this comes at one of those somber moments. We have just lost four people, including a New York City police officer in a mass killing. I don't know when you're listening to this, but you know when this happened. This happened on Monday, July the 28th. And you may be listening to this a day or two afterwards, but Diderol Islam, 36 years old, 4 years on the force, was serving at a building in New York City on an off-duty police detail hired by the as a police officer to provide security. And this young man walked in, this deranged individual, this evil, wicked individual walked in. And as soon as he got in, apparently, Officer Islam was the first person who he murdered. As soon as he saw him, he opened fire on him and killed him. He was apparently there to attack the NFL office, but he couldn't get into the NFL offices because you need a security key to go to their floors. So he ended up on the 33rd floor and killed several people there. And I believe it is a total of five people, three civilians, one officer murdered, then he killed himself. And then I think there's one person who, at least at the time I'm recording this, one person who is in critical condition. The first thing I want to say is our hearts go out to his family. And to all those people who have been affected by this, first and foremost, of course, his family, but then all those people who have been traumatized by this wicked event. We just have to pray, folks. I think Senator Kennedy said it best. He said, we don't need more gun control. We need more idiot control. He's got one of those wry sort of wits, but I think it's well said. We need more evil control, not gun control. I just find it interesting the way they reported on this already. Instead of focusing on this man and why was this man who apparently had mental illness, why was he serving as a security guard in a Las Vegas casino? Why was he licensed to carry a firearm? I don't believe in red flag laws, I have to tell you, because I believe they violate our due process rights. But I do believe that a person who is suffering from severe mental illness, and I mean mental illness that makes you a potential danger to yourself and others, that means you're delusional, you're depressed, you are bipolar, you know, the kinds of things that really alter a person's understanding of reality, those people should not have access to a firearm. They simply should not, because they're a danger to themselves and to others. I mean, they think they're looking at a robber, they're looking at their wife or their child. I mean, you just don't know what their mind. This guy, apparently, who never played for the NFL, somehow was deluded into believing that he had been a player for the NFL and had basically been received some sort of concussion that had affected him, and he was going to punish the NFL for not treating him. Well, he never played for the NFL. He only played high school football. So this is what I mean. You know, so his view of reality is completely warped. It's completely distorted. A person like that should not have a firearm. Okay? Red flag laws tend to punish people. All you got to do is go tell the authorities. Oh, that person, that E.W. Jackson, you know, he's not right in the head. I heard him say on the radio, and you know, suddenly you got somebody saying you got to turn in your firearms. I mean, that is not the American way. That is not constitutional. But somebody like this, it seems to me there's ample time when these people start demonstrating severe mental illness for somebody to say in their family, on their job, to say this person's licensed to carry a firearm, that license should be revoked, this person owns firearms, those firearms should be confiscated because this person is potential threat, a potential danger to himself. And you can't tell me that there weren't signs of this, that somebody didn't see something. You don't drive 36 hours all of a sudden. You don't wake up that morning and suddenly you're mentally ill enough to drive 36 hours almost straight to go to the NFL office to kill people, and nobody has any indication whatsoever that there's something wrong with you. We don't need more gun laws. We need the enforcement of the laws that are already on the books. If we do that, we don't have to bother law-abiding citizens. We don't have to bother innocent people who have done nothing to anybody. But, you know, that's, we know, of course, already Chuck Schumer is running around talking about, you know, we don't need more thoughts and prayers. I tell you, these Democrats really do hate prayers. They really hate prayer. Remember I told you about the meeting? I don't recall exactly where it may come to me, where this, Maryland, actually. It was a Maryland, I think it was a Maryland City Council meeting where this woman was testifying and began to pray, and the I think it was the mayor who was chairing the meeting said, "Stop! We don't do prayer." Really? Wow! When was the last time she read the Constitution of the United States? You can't stop that woman from saying something that she wants to say, expressing herself in the way she wants to express herself as a government entity because she's praying. What are you kidding me? But again, these people don't have any respect for the Constitution of the United States or for our rights, our God-given rights under that Constitution. So here's the other thing that I think needs to be said. I don't know whether you caught this, but early reports, now the first pictures that came out of the guy, it was obvious that this was wrong. But do you know the early reporters said that he was possibly white? Now notice the language, possibly white. You know why they said it that way? They said it that way because they are committed to the idea that white men are the problem. And if there's a mass shooting, if there's some evil act that's taking place, white men are responsible. I mean, folks, this is so insidious and wicked and twisted. They just had to jump on that. When it was obvious from the first picture I saw, it was obvious that the guy was a maybe black, maybe Hispanic. It turns out when I saw a picture of him, he looked like he might be mixed race, and his last name, Shane, I think it's Tamora, suggests he might even have some Asian ancestry, and his appearance does, but his skin is dark, looks like it's brown, dark brown. Come on, possibly white? What? His hair was clearly sort of in the form of an afro. But they don't care about facts. They don't care about truth. What they care about is the narrative that they want to promote, and they, I don't care what it takes, they will use every opportunity to promote it. I've said, in fact, I think last week I dedicated the program to this. I've certainly talked about this a lot. We have got to deracialize America. Other than for purposes of identifying the man, his race doesn't matter. Now, you can certainly describe his physical appearance, his complexion, the length or the texture of his hair. If you're close enough to him to know his eye color, you can certainly describe that. But it doesn't really matter, does it? Whether he's black or white or Asian or Hispanic, what matters is what the man did. That's what matters. But oh no, not for the lamestream media. They've got to convince us all that this was an evil act and therefore it had to be done by a white man. You know, the reason why I bring this up so much, folks, is it is so contrary to Scripture, because the Bible does not teach that there is any monopoly on virtue in any one group of people or any monopoly on vice among any one group of people. But this is what the left would have us believe, that basically all so-called people of color, which I've debunked because there's no such thing as a person without color, but nevertheless, what they mean is all people who are not of European ancestry, they are all virtuous victims. If you are a person of color, you are a virtuous victim. And if you are a person of European ancestry, meaning you are quote unquote white, you are a villain. And never the twain shall meet. This is insidious. See, folks, it's Hitlerian is what it is. It really is. You start ascribing to a group of people certain vices as scapegoats. They're responsible for everything in life that goes wrong. And of course, if you have a president, they did the same thing to George Bush, by the way, who was by no means any paradigm of conservatism, George Bush too. But you have a president like Donald Trump, who is trying to put the country on a proper course, and is opposing all these insane leftist policies. And of course, he then becomes the poster child for the white villain. It is sick. We have got to deracialize this country, and we've got to establish a culture in which we don't even want to hear that. Only the individual matters. And the individual's character, the individual's competence, the individual's behavior, that's what matters. Not the complexion of that individual, not the ancestry of that individual, but what that individual does, what that individual says and thinks insofar as that translates into action. That is all that matters. And we're not taking anything else into consideration because we don't really care about anything else. But again, our hearts go out to the family of Diderol Islam. By the way, on Saturday, last Saturday, this hasn't gotten much play, but a Kansas City deputy sheriff was killed by a guy who had barricaded himself in his house, began to fire at police, and apparently he caught Elijah Ming, I guess unexpectedly, and killed him. 34 years old. Diderol Islam was 36. Elijah Ming was 34. Young men with their whole lives ahead of them, dead at the hands of these criminals. And what we really need, again, is we need evil control. We need to start punishing people. I've shared the scripture with you all before. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. But I'll tell you, this is a scripture worth remembering and memorizing, because it undermines all the liberal hogwash about, oh, his mother didn't love him, and oh, he was misunderstood, and oh, he's a victim of racism, and oh, this and oh, that. And let's not put him in jail. Let's not even send the police. Let's send a social worker. And it's not his fault. It's the guns' fault. If we just get rid of the guns, evil people wouldn't, they wouldn't even be evil anymore. It's the gun that makes them evil. I mean, all of these excuses. Here's what Ecclesiastes 8:11 says. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I mean, think about what that's saying. It's saying, and now we've got leftists telling us not only not to execute the sentence speedily, but don't execute any sentence at all. Don't punish them at all, because it's not their fault. It's the typical Marxist approach. It's not their fault. It's society's fault. We did it. We created this idiot running for mayor of New York. Takes the typical Marxist view. You know, Marx didn't believe in prisons because he thought prisons were punishing the real victims. The real victims are the working class people, the people who steal, the people who cheat, the people who rob, the people who kill. They're only doing that because they're victims of the capitalist system. They shouldn't be put in prison. They should be put in re-education camps. Yeah. And then when communists take over, anybody who crosses them, you know why the Soviet Union didn't have a major mafia problem while the communists were running it, because they pick you up off the street and kill you. You're not getting any due process. You're not getting any rights read. They find out that you're doing something that they consider to be a counter to the communist state, to the communist system, and they're going to kill you. You're going to disappear. They'll torture you, kill you, and offer no one any explanation. All they know is you're gone. Well, I'll tell you what, it is completely contrary to an ordered liberty and to a society of laws. But I'll tell you what, it's certainly effective at putting down crime, because you just turn the state into a criminal and kill all the other criminals. That's how you do it. That's how the Soviet Union did it. That's not how we do it. We punish people for their crimes, and we punish them with due process. But you got these leftists wondering, oh, no, we can't do that. That's not right. And when communists take over, they create the most brutal, bloodthirsty, dictatorial, torturous, murderous regimes that the world has ever seen. Well, again, to Deputy Elijah Ming, to Officer Diderot Islam, to their families, our prayers, our condolences, our love for them. One more thing I want to say about this. This, again, is a reminder. We must respect and honor our police officers. We must. Because these are people who lay their lives on the line for us every single day. They put that uniform out, put that uniform on, and walk out into the streets to do their duty, or if they're plain clothes. Either way, doesn't matter. Whether they're state, local, state, or federal, doesn't matter. They're putting their lives on the line for us. And I honor them. This is Project 76 Standathon time for us at my organization. And, you know, we have a project called Stand With Law Enforcement. If you've never checked that out, go to standwithlawenforcement.com, standwithlawenforcement.com. You'll see there some handout cards that we have for police officers. As a matter of fact, I'll read you what that card says, because it really is, and these are in the size of business cards, but they really are powerful statements of our support for law enforcement. And let me just read you what the card says, so that you, if you want to order some of these, just go to the website, standwithlawenforcement.com, and we'll be happy to send you some. There is some charge to it, and frankly, folks, I forget what it is. It's not that much, but you can order as many of these as you'd like to hand out to police officers as you go along. It says, when the job is hard, when the pressure is great. By the way, this is called the Police Officer's Prayer. When the job is hard, when the pressure is great, when you wonder, does anyone appreciate? Just know that for all the work you do, someone is praying and thinking of you. For your duty and honor in difficult times, God in heaven makes his face shine. He looks upon you from above to inspire you with courage and love. May he give you the strength to make one more round at the end of your shift to go home safe and sound. May you fight the good fight and live by his grace. When your work here is done, you'll see his loving face. That's a wonderful expression of support to give to police officers. And folks, I'll be very honest with you. You know, every now and then I get stopped for speeding, but don't hold that against me. I say, I'm not a reckless driver, but I can be a little fast sometimes. But I've actually gotten a ticket from a police officer and handed him one of these cards afterwards, and told him when I gave him one of these cards, saying, now look, I didn't want to give this to you before you decided whether you're going to write me a ticket, because I wanted you to know this has nothing to do with that. I want you to know that there are citizens out there like me and so many others who care about you. We support you. We're praying for you. We realize the sacrifice you make for the rest of us. And this is just a small expression of that. I've had guys, officers, stand there at the side of my car and look at me, and you can see them well up, because they get so little support from the public these days, except for us individuals. But you know, the mainstream media if anything goes down, the cop's always wrong. If anything looks wrong, it's the cop. So at any rate, to all you law enforcement officers out there who may be listening to me right now, and by the way, if you know a law enforcement officer, share this program with them so that they can hear this. But to all you law enforcement officers out there right now, we're praying for you. We love you. We respect you. We honor you. Thank you so much for all you do to serve us and to keep the rest of us safe. And it is my prayer that every American, regardless of the lies that are told and the propaganda that is spewed and the racial nonsense that is pushed forward, the cops are out hunting down black men, all this crazy stuff, that every American would appreciate the sacrifice these police officers, these law enforcement officers make for us, and show them respect and support, and let them know that they are not alone, that we stand with them. So standwithlawenforcement.com is where you go to see all that. Okay, having gotten that out of the way, let me get back to this. We are my organization, Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny, Stand. We are in, when you hear this, it'll probably be day 51 or later of our Standathon, which is a 76-day project from July 4th to September 17th. That's Independence Day to Constitution Day. Believe it or not, that period is exactly 76 days. It ends on the 17th, 76 days after July 4th, which, of course, the declaration was signed July 4th, 1776. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, July 4th, 1776, September 17th, 76 days after July 4th. That's the hand of God, folks. That's providential. But look, our theme for this period is prayer for purpose and prosperity for our nation and for our organization. We are committed to preserving the Judeo-Christian heritage and values that made America the greatest nation in the history of mankind. We're committed to it. And in order to do the job that God has called us to do, we really need your help. So I'm asking for your prayers first and foremost, because remember, prayers can produce resources. Resources will never, ever substitute for prayer. Because you start to rely on resources, then you think you've got what you need, and without God, you don't have anything. So prayer first, but prayer for purpose, that our purpose, the fundamental purpose of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, is to bring Americans together across all racial and cultural lines, so that we might preserve and protect and defend our Judeo-Christian heritage and values, our constitutional republic, all of the free market principles that made us the greatest economy and that gave us the highest standard of living in the history of mankind, and individual liberty. It says liberty is not collective. There's no black liberty, white liberty. There's liberty for every individual. That's the way it works. We got to preserve this for our posterity. Jesus said, again, in Matthew 12:25, Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. I think he said the same thing in, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Luke 9:11, if I'm not mistaken, but it's in another text as well. But the point is, Jesus made clear that if a society is divided, that society is doomed. Again, if a society is divided, that society is doomed. Oh, that's not it. Let me find it for you, though, while I'm talking. I don't want America to be doomed. I don't want America to be brought to desolation. I love this country. I know you do, too. We want the very best for America. We want a future that is bright. For our posterity, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren, if Jesus tarries. Oh, wow, it's actually in Mark as well. I take that back. Nope, it's in, I said Luke 9:11. It's actually Luke 11:17, Matthew 12:25, and Luke 11:17. But Jesus said, yeah, a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. We don't want that for our country. But I'll tell you what, the left does. I believe the Democrats do. Because I really believe what they think is that they will ultimately preside over the ashes, that they will ultimately rule over the desolation that they create. That somehow, between the illegal aliens and all the people who they have convinced are dispossessed because they're victims of white supremacy and systemic racism and all this nonsense, and all the women they've convinced you're victims of masculine toxicity, and that those people cobble together. There's a book that they wrote about it, folks. I think I've told this book, Brown is the New White, it's called. I think the guy's name is, I think it's Stephen Phillips is the name of the guy who wrote it. Brown is the New White. All about, if we could just cobble together all the good white people, meaning the white Marxists, and then all the other people of color, meaning, I guess, anybody who's not of European ancestry, and I don't know how pure that has to be, because I think I've told you all, my DNA shows me about 20% European ancestry and about 80% African ancestry. But I don't know what Barack Obama's supposed to be. I guess he's supposed to be, this stuff, it doesn't make any sense at all, except politically in the quest for power. That's the only way it makes sense. It doesn't make sense biologically. It doesn't make sense physiologically. It doesn't make sense genetically. It doesn't even make sense sociologically when you come right down to it. But it certainly makes sense for Marxism because it's a pathway for power. And we've got to bring our country together in order to create this more perfect union. The left is trying to rip us apart. So during this period, we are focusing on that purpose, the purpose of unifying America. We got a number of other themes, prayer themes. I mean, one of them, for example, is to, in addition to protecting our Judeo-Christian values, another one that I think I've talked about is the family, rebuilding the family. One of our projects is called the Family Restoration Institute. This September, we're starting the Family Restoration Academy. Next summer, we're going to have the Family Restoration summer camps, where we're going to be bringing families together in at least one summer camp. We'll at least start with at least one model summer camp. Bring families together and just talk about strengthening the families from the husband's point of view, from the wife's point of view, from the father, the mother's point of view, from the children's point of view. How do you create the family the way God wants it to be? God wants our families to be places of peace and joy and strength and love and support and loyalty, with Him ultimately as the head. Now that's the difference, folks. Without God as the head, I don't care what kind of family people think they're building. They're building it on a house of cards. Jesus said so. It's like building your house on the sand. And when the floods come and the rains hit and the wind blows, that baby's going to fall. But if you found it on the rock, and that rock is Jesus, if God is number one in your family, that family is going to be strong. And so the Family Restoration Institute has a 10-week curriculum. Summer camp is going to be a little bit different, but basically 10 modules that we deal with. And of course, what do you think the first and foremost module is? God must be at the center of family because He's the one who designed it and He knows best how it works. So that's one. And then, of course, that's two, the Judeo-Christian values, the family. And another one, we're going to be talking over the next several weeks about pastors and churches uniting, getting beyond our denominational differences and focusing on our unifying leader, our head, the Lord Advocate General of the Church, Jesus Christ. Because look, we don't have to agree on every doctrinal point. You know, I had somebody bring this up with me not too long ago about disagreeing with some folks and some things that they had said. Now, of course, if we're fundamentally in disagreement, then we got a problem. But this was on a sort of a doctrinal point that I won't even get into, because we're not going to all agree on every doctrinal point. And the person said, so what do you think of that? I said, well, look, I don't agree. I don't agree with the point that they made that this. I said, but that's not my emphasis in working with churches. If I find a church that believes that Jesus Christ is Lord, that believe that the Word of God is true, even though they don't maybe see every scripture quite the same way I do. I don't claim to have 100% accuracy in my understanding either. But if they believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He rose the third day, that He is God come in the flesh, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the Word of God is true, that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we believe that America needs God in order to remain the successful nation we have been, we can work together on that, on the basis of that commonality. And I really don't want to get into a debate about tongues or no tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit or no baptism of the Holy Spirit, the interpretation of this verse or that verse, what did Jesus mean? I really don't want to get into that, because sooner or later, we're going to find something that we're not going to agree about. If we look, we'll have to look too hard, you know, and now we've got division rather than unity. But I work with Baptists and I work with Pentecostals and I work with people all over the denominational spectrum if they are Bible-believing Christians. Now, I can't work with people who don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. That's where we go our separate ways. How can two walk together except they be agreed? But if we agree on that, even if we don't agree on every single point as to what a particular text might mean, man, we've got plenty of commonality to work together on. I guarantee you, those of you who love American Family Radio, I guarantee you, if we had a convention of all of you for unity of doctrine, I guarantee you, if we started trying to figure out whether we all agreed on everything, there wouldn't be a convention very long. You know, because I guarantee you, this audience that loves God, loves this country, loves AFR, I guarantee you there'd be things that among us we disagree about. We can either focus on that or we can focus on the things that unify ourselves. Jesus said, not by your doctrinal purity, not by your accuracy, not by your unassailable interpretation of every word in the Bible, but He said, by your love for one another shall all know that you are my disciples. We got to love one another. And I always say, our country desperately needs us. If we're fighting each other, how in the world can we help save America? So I want to ask you all for your help. Go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us. I've suggested $1 a day over the 76 days, it'd be only $76, or for that matter, anything you can give. My wife and I have made a commitment to our organization because we believe in putting our money where our mouth is, or maybe I should better say it, putting our money where our heart is. Jesus said, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, your treasure will follow your heart. And we made a daily commitment to Stand for its work. By the way, Stand partners with the American Family Association, and American Family Radio, and the American Family Association, American Family Radio also partnered with us. They're one of our best sponsors for our Stand Awards dinner, and we're so appreciative of that. So I'm asking you all, if you haven't partnered with us, become a Patriot partner with the work that we're doing. Go to standamerica.us to do that. And again, you can say, well, Bishop Jackson, I have nothing monetarily I can give, but you can pray. We have a prayer meeting every Friday at 12 noon Eastern Time. Go to our website. I think it's events, under events on the website. And you'll get the telephone number for where to call at 12 noon Eastern Time. So for some of you, that'd be 11 a.m., but 12 noon Eastern Time. In fact, you know what? Let me do this. For those of you, those of you listening to me now probably probably are comfortable going on the internet to get that information. But I tell you what, I'm going to save you the trouble by giving it to you myself. So if you got a pen handy, this is how you join our prayer line. So prayer is number one. Go to at 12 noon, dial in, call in at 412-924-6937. That's 412-924-6937. 6937. Now I'm going to come back to that again, but I'm going to give you the access code as well. So after you dial that number, you dial the access code 345-935-POUND. 345-935-POUND. I'm going to come back and give you that number again. So let me say prayers number one, prayer for our country, prayer for Stan and the work that we are doing, and pray for American Family Radio and American Family Association. Because praise God, I'll just say, you know, in some ways, I'm a son of Don Wildman. Because Don Wildman kind of, when I was just really coming of spiritual awareness of the impact of that Christianity is supposed to have on the culture and on the issues of the day, Don Wildman was one of the very first voices I heard talking about this stuff. So I'm really, in many ways, a spiritual son of Don Wildman, who has impacted the lives of so many. So by all means, pray for American Family Radio and pray for the American Family Association. We couldn't do what we do at Stan without the support of American Family Association, American Family Radio, and without, frankly, the leadership of Brother Don, who got this whole process started for me and for so many others in so many ways, probably beyond what you and I will ever know until we get to heaven. So pray and then volunteer. If you want to start a Stan chapter, it's not hard. All you got to do is go to our website, sign up, put in the notes, like to start a Stan chapter. I think we only ask you to assemble as many as four people who can sit down and talk about any issues you're facing in your community and how you want to address those issues. And we will back you here at the national office. I will come to you on my own dime and support you. We've got two working chapters right now in Arizona and Arkansas, and I'm going to see them both on my own dime. I'll be in Arizona in November. Not sure when I'm going to Arkansas, but I will come on my own dime to support the work that you are doing. Be wonderful if you could bring me, but if you can't, I'll come. You have my commitment to do that. And by the way, if you need me to come speak anywhere, you know, again, I don't charge churches to come speak. I don't say you got to give me this much. I don't do that at all, ever. Freely you have received, freely give. If a church wants me to come, I'll come. If they give me nothing, so be it. If they give me an offering, praise God. Whatever it is, large, small, nothing. I will come and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for anybody who wants me to come. Now, I do ask that they take care of my expenses because, frankly, I can't ask my organization to pay the expense for me going to speak for somebody. But, you know, other than that, there's no requirement. They don't have to pay me anything. So just keep that in mind. So prayer, volunteering to help. By the way, you don't have to start a chapter. You can volunteer in some other way. You think of, here's something I'd like to do for the organization, or you can talk to my field director, Pastor Ma, and say, yeah, what do you need? How can we be of help? And he may say, look, can you help do some graphics work for us? Can you do that? Who knows? But any way you want to volunteer, we'll be glad to receive your support. And then, of course, you can contribute, and I've already mentioned that. And we, you know, all kinds of levels at which you contribute. But in your prayers, I'm asking you to pray that the Lord will send us legacy donors, estate donors, endowment donors, who will give the kind of money that will allow me to plan for the future without sort of running always from quarter to quarter to make sure we're meeting our budget and paying our staff and doing the things that we need to do. I'm believing God to raise up that kind of donor, at least one and perhaps more. I think I've shared this with you all, but you know, Jeff Bezos gave Van Jones $100 million. You know what AFR could do with $100 million? You know what Stan could do with $100 million? Well, I'll tell you what, the first thing I'd do is give a bunch of it away. And believe me, AFR would be right at the top of my list. American Family Association would be right at the top of my list. But, you know, we could do with that kind of those kinds of resources. And what is Van Jones doing with it? Nothing. Because he doesn't know his head from a hole in the wall. He doesn't know what to do with it. Because without God, you don't have the wisdom to know what to do. So pray for us, okay, first and foremost. But whatever you can give, believe me, we will definitely appreciate. Now, let me give that number one more time. By now, you should have a pen or a pencil. I'm talking about the prayer line now for Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Time. The call-in number is 412-924-6937. That's 412 724-6937. And the access code, when you call in, the code to dial to get into the prayer call is 345-935-POUND. That's 345-935-POUND. And if you know how to go to the website, you can go to the website. Go to events. At the bottom, you'll see Prayer for America. Click on that, and you'll have it right there on the website. Project 76 Standathon. From now until September 17th, September 17th is going to be our big concluding day. If you don't check out my podcast now, please make it a point to tune in. You can find it on Facebook at EW Jackson for America or EW Jackson SR at Facebook. You can find it on YouTube, the EW Jackson YouTube channel. You can find it on standamerica.us. 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time every single morning. Monday through Friday. Every morning, Monday through Friday. And you can find it on BishopEWJackson.tv, all kinds of places. Wherever you can find podcasts, you can also find EW Jackson for America, which is an outreach of STAN, okay? Staying true to America's national destiny. Okay, let me cover a couple of other things before it's time for me to go. Now, I have to say, folks, I have to say, you know what? Before I do any of that, have you all noticed my new studio backdrop? Yeah, I used to have a plain office background. Notice now I've got it decorated. See, The Awakening, Bishop E.W. Jackson, the AFR logo. Look there. There's our STAN logo. That award, by the way, is award for this program, for the Awakening program, that was recognized as one of the top 50 most listened to Christian podcasts in America. That's right. One of the top 50 most listened to Christian podcasts in America. Praise God for that. I'm Old Glory right beside me here. Can't leave Old Glory out. Praise God. Notice I've got my books on my bookshelf here. So folks, God is moving, and we're blessed, and I'm just grateful to God that you all are in on the blessing. So there's a little grand tour of my new backdrop. This is what you'll be seeing from now on when you tune in to the Awakening podcast on American Family Radio. Now, I just want to say before I go, President Trump is doing a magnificent job. A magnificent job. I saw a little questionnaire on, I think it was on X, formerly Twitter, asking, do you still unreservedly support the job that President Trump is doing? And I just answered in capital letters, Y-E-S, exclamation point, yes. Let me just say quickly, that doesn't mean I agree with every single thing he does. It doesn't. But you've got to evaluate the overall picture. And the overall picture, folks, is magnificent. It really is. It's magnificent. I mean, he's gotten, I think it was last month, zero releases of illegal aliens into our country. Zero. I mean, who would have thought after seeing literally tens of thousands coming in a month, he's got it down to zero. President Trump, all of the predictions of economic cataclysm over his tariff wars, and we've got money pouring into our country from all over the world, money that we should have had coming in all along, but we didn't have a president who loved America enough and was bold enough and courageous enough to say, nobody's taking advantage of my country. And you're not going to close your markets to us, and ours is completely open to you, and you're going to have big tariffs that you're charging us so we can't come into your markets and we don't charge you any or virtually nothing. That's not happening anymore. NATO, you're going to pay your fair share for your defense. Wow. Making peace everywhere he finds conflict. Seeking to be a force for peace. This is the guy that the left is calling a fascist, a Nazi, a this and that. Even Bill Maher had to admit, you know, I have to admit, the economy seems to be going pretty well, you know. And had to admit, he was wrong about his predictions that President Trump was about to ruin the American economy with these tariffs. But see, we've never had a president like this one. I think that he is wholly driven. I think there's a lot of factors that go into this. I think part of it is his own vast wealth. But I think part of it is just the nature of his character. He is, you know, President Trump is a billionaire, but he grew up in the rough and tumble streets of New York construction sites, or the rough and tumble lots, if you will, of New York construction sites. He had to deal with unions. He had to deal with hard hats and hard heads. He had to deal with the mafia. He had to navigate his way through all of that. And came out on top every time. I think he's been prepared for this. And all along, by the way, every time he had a chance to talk about America, the same kinds of things he's doing are the kinds of things he talked about. And look, folks, we just need to pray for him, because we know that there are forces at work that would love to get rid of him. There are forces at work that would love to stop him cold. And he's been called everything but a child of God, a racist, a Nazi, a dictator, you name it. And on and on and on it goes. But I want to just pause a moment and recognize that this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. I really believe that God is using President Trump in a near miraculous way for our benefit. You know, I've said, God doesn't call leaders for the leader's sakes. He calls the leaders for his people's sake. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him freely give us all things? I mean, look where the emphasis is. The emphasis is on us. The emphasis there is not even on Jesus. It's on us, that he sent Jesus for us. Well, look, I'm not suggesting in any way that President Trump is Jesus. I know better than that. But I really believe that God calls leaders like this for us. And I'm grateful to God that he's using President Trump, because our country is still, frankly, we're not by any means out of the woods, but I'll tell you what, we're a lot farther from the brink than we would be were it not for him being president. Hey, can you imagine what it would be like if Kamala Harris had become president of the United States? We might be looking at the end of our country as we know it, and I don't think that's any exaggeration whatsoever. So we need to be praying for him, praying for our country. As I said earlier, praying for our country, praying for our organization, praying for American Family Radio, praying for us that the work we are doing to try to help save our country will succeed. Because remember, President Trump is only on the scene for a brief period of time. I mean, his presidency will end. You and I, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, as long as Jesus tarries, are going to be here. And we've got to preserve this culture for our posterity. And that means it's not enough that we have a President Trump. You and I have to be fully engaged in the process. And we should be encouraged to do so, because we finally got a president who's on our side. I'm sure you've heard recently, President Trump has issued an executive order saying that the federal government may no longer punish people for having Bibles on their desks, displaying scriptures on their cubicles, inviting people to church, mentioning that they are Christian believers, that they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, for I don't know how many decades now, probably three or four, it's been okay to mention that you're a sexual deviant. It's been okay to mention that you killed your own baby. It's been okay to mention that you're married to a man is married to another man, a woman married to another woman. But if you're a Christian and you say, well, I don't believe in that. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe God made marriage as a union between one man and one woman. Now you're in trouble. That's got to stop. And I really believe we got to go beyond the federal government, that's got to be true in every private corporation as well, because these private corporations are operating under color of law, and the same way that they cannot arbitrarily and capriciously discriminate. In other words, they cannot use race, they cannot use gender, they cannot use national origin or ancestry to say, I'm not promoting you because I don't like where you're from, or I don't like what you look like, or I don't like your gender. Neither should they be able to hurt somebody, demote somebody, fire somebody, refuse to hire somebody because they happen to be a Bible-believing Christian. Now, folks, I said not too long ago, I got to get ready to go, that I really believe that in spite of the fact that I ran for president, President Trump is a better president than I would have been, because he's got experience that I simply wouldn't have had. And some of the things that I had in my heart to do, and this is one of them, he's doing it. I mean, I have no complaints. He's doing it. Because I said I would turn the attorney general against every entity, no matter what it is, that seeks to violate the rights of Christians and punish Christians because they hold to a biblical worldview, because their religious liberty is protected by the First Amendment, and it's about time that the federal government got on their side instead of on the side of all these sexual deviants. And these people want to promote all this weird stuff. Well, President Trump is doing it. Praise God for him. Folks, help me. Help my organization, help American Family Association, help American Family Radio to continue to do it as well. Because, you know, we're going to be here when President Trump's presidency is over. And this battle is not nearly over. This thing is going to take a while for us to win it and cast all this craziness on the dung heap of American history, never to rise and trouble us again. But we're going to get it done. In the name of Jesus, we're going to get it done. And you know what we need to do in order to get it done? So you could probably recite it for me and with me. We're going to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.